Show me the money.
If you're watching this video right now, you are likely in the top 10% of the world's population as far as wealth goes.
Your only responsibility is to put meat on the table.
Show me the money.
Name of the game? Move the money from your client's pocket into your pocket.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed,
show me the money,
for lack of a better word, is good.
10%.
Greed is right. Greed works.
And so you have young people going to university coming away with a huge debt.
And you need to make a vow of faith of $1,000.
Millions of people every night go to bed without food. And millions of people are throwing away their food.
Top 10%.
Huge debt.
Greed works.
This is the third part, the final part in our series of money talks. We've been looking at money. We looked at the fact that there's a secret that most people don't know about. That the secret of being content, no matter what you've got, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot. Most of us don't have financial problems at our core. We have emotional problems at our core. We have a contentment problem at our core. And we looked last week about how to be wise and healthy in the way that you do your finances, organize your finances, arrange your finances. But tonight we're going to look at giving. Giving. That video says that if you are hearing the video, if you're in the sound of my voice, if you're watching this on the internet, you are in the top 10%. The top 10% of the world's population. And that's conservative. And so you have to ask yourself the question, we being in the top 10% of the world's population, surely then we would be the most generous people on the planet because we've got the most resources. We have been born lucky, born in the right environment. We have access to things that people can only dream of. People who go to bed hungry every night. People whose kids are not guaranteed to make it to the age of 5. You'd think that we would be champions at giving. And in many ways, we do pretty well. But the question is, do we do giving in a way that reflects the great benefit that we've received? Now, let's look at some statistics. If you take the population of the UK, if you draw a line from the poorest right through to the richest and see them all along that line, then if you take the poorest 20%, they're there at the bottom. And you take the richest 20%, they're there at the top. We actually know how much of a proportion those different groups, the poorest 20%, the richest 20%, give to charity. How much of their income do they give to charity? The poorest 20% give around about 0.8% of their income to charity, whereas the richest 20% give 3% of their income to charity, almost four times the amount. And that's exactly what you would expect, because the more money you have, the more generous that you become. The more that you are aware of the way in which you've been uniquely blessed, the more money seems to have less of a hold on you. You're able to be ridiculously, totally generous. If you're poor, of course you can't give too much, but when you're rich, you can give lots. I'm talking nonsense. It's the other way around. It's the poorest 20% that give almost four times more than the richest 20%. Because we talked last week about the fact that money, that kind of materialistic creature behind everyday finance, is like a tapeworm that gets into you. And the more that you consume, the bigger that the tapeworm gets and the bigger the appetite that this creature within you has, so that it wants more and more. The more we spend, the more we accumulate, the more we store up and just give ourselves everything that our eyes want, the hungrier that we get. Because we don't have financial problems, we have emotional problems, we have contentment problems. And if we have that materialistic bug inside of us, it just always makes us hungry for more, just a little bit more, just a little bit more. And that's why the people that are the richest in our society are the least generous, the least able to give. Because the ability to give money is not dependent on how much you earn. It's not dependent on how much excess you've got. It's not dependent on how financially secure you are. It is basically a whole different thing. People that are good at giving are a kind of special breed of person. One of the most impacting things that happened to me in meeting one of these people that's really, really great at giving, almost like an extreme giver, was this one guy. And this is when I was like, I was a teenager, I was 19 years old. I just started out in the preaching business. I was being trained up, I was being put on different teams and work experience. And I was with this guy, his name was Brent Shepherd. And Brent Shepherd, he was a few years older than me, but Brent Shepherd was the coolest guy in the room. We knew that Brent was the coolest guy in the room because he had an amazing haircut. His hairstyle was so amazing. He had it short and swept back at the sides and then long, flowing down at the back. Long at the front. Now, we didn't know that that would be later called a mullet. It was the 80s. All we knew was that he looked incredibly cool. He was the coolest guy in the room. Walking in, rocking his silver, sparkly harem pants. You know, like MC Hammer? You know, those things, the big, blowy, billowy. You know, it was acceptable in the 80s. And he carried it off. In fact, I'm still in contact with Brent Seam on Facebook. He lives in a different country, but we still correspond. Still wearing the harem pants. Still making it work, because, that's a joke, if you're watching, Brent. Because he was the coolest guy in the room. Fantastic model, good looks. In fact, he had a long career in Hollywood films. He's a Canadian guy. Even his name, Brent Shepherd, for goodness sake. I mean, how many advantages can one man be born with? Brent was, he was like a rock star. He was the coolest guy. And I remember this particular thing that I was doing. We were in a church together doing some work with this church. And I don't know, Brent, he was just kind of the guy that everyone said, hey, the coolest guy. The coolest guy in the room. And I was sitting in this meeting, just like you're sitting now. And behind me, Brent sat down. And I just, you know, try to sneak a little behind. Just be cool. And at the end of the service, there's a little tap on my shoulder. I turn around and Brent is talking to me. It's like a big deal. And he says, hey, Philip. It is Philip, right? I said, yeah. He says, do you know what? I looked at your shoes and your shoes are a mess. Your shoes are worn. Your shoes are worn crooked. They're worn down. And do you know what? If you carry on wearing those shoes and walking in those shoes, you're going to do your back in. He says, you need good shoes. You need better shoes. You need my shoes. And he reached down and he undid his laces. Laces on the shoes that were the coolest shoes I have ever seen. He took the shoes off his own feet. Just so I happened to be the same size as me. He gave, and I took my shoes off. I put his shoes on. I'm going to be honest. This is completely honest. They're the best shoes I ever had. From this day until now, never before and never since did I have such a cool pair of shoes. And I looked at Brent, and you know what, like I said, I've been in touch with him ever since. He's now an old man. But he never once brought it up. He never once said, hey, remember that time when I gave you my shoes? Because he did. It was an extraordinary thing. He literally walked out of that room barefoot, still rocking the harem pants, still looking incredibly cool. I had a huge smile on my face. He had a bigger smile on his face because for him it was like, no big deal. Nothing. He knew what it was to have something nice. He knew what it was to give it away. He was an extreme giver. And I remember being impacted by that one act and thinking to myself, I want to be like that guy. I want to be like a guy that can be so generous, so releasing, so free to have and be able to give, to hold on to stuff. Lightly, freely, like it's no big deal. That's the kind of person, because there was something attractive, there was something noble, there was something really quite spectacular about the guy doing that, that kind of extreme giving. And it wasn't something where he was a martyr, limping away, shoeless, but it was something where he went out with his head held high, big grin on his face, and he had a grin that could make Tom Cruise weep with envy. And sauntered out. And it was because he knew that when you give, you receive so much. Giving actually makes us happy. Now, about 5 years ago, the Harvard Business School, they did a little experiment. They did some research. They wanted to know what happens with money and how money impacts people and how a gift that you receive impacts people. And so they gave people some Starbucks cards. And they wanted to see how these people reacted. It was just like a £10 Starbucks card. Go buy yourself a coffee. Other coffee retailers are available. But they went to these guys and they said, look, here's your Starbucks card. Enjoy yourself. In fact, they took this group of volunteers. They split them down the half, down the middle. One group, they said, enjoy yourself. Spend it on yourself. But with the other group, the other half, they said, actually, we want you, and they did what I did with Joe. They said, we want you to give this away. Give it to someone else. Give it to someone else. And then before and after, they did some surveys, some questionnaires to measure the level of happiness that these individuals reported. And they found who became more happy as a result of the experiment that they went through. Now, who do you think became more happy? The group that spent it on themselves or the group that gave it to someone else? What do you think? Who thinks gave it to someone else? Who thinks spent it on themselves? You're right, gave it to someone else. They were the ones that reported more happiness. It's counterintuitive because you think, when I receive something, it's for me. It's for me to enjoy. It's my stuff. It's my precious. But when I give away, it's actually greater. It's great to be able to receive the gift. It's great to be able to take yourself out for a nice treat. But weirdly enough, not enough people know this. It feels better. It does us more when we give to someone else. In fact, they introduced a third group into this experiment. They extended it a little bit. And they said, actually, for the third group, what we want you to do is we want you to go and spend it on someone else, but take them out with you. Enjoy it together. And that third group, they were the ones that reported the highest levels of happiness and contentment and joy and fulfillment of all of them. Because not only were they giving, but they were connecting. Because essentially, you need to know this about human beings. And it just seems crazy to me that no one talks about this very much. We don't get this kind of message shouted out anything like as loud as it should be shouted. Human beings are primarily relational beings, not economic. We have all this stuff that we're pursuing. We're pursuing more money. We're pursuing more things. We're pursuing more comforts and creature comforts and bigger nests for ourselves. But actually, anybody that knows anything about people knows that we are relational in nature. It's relationships that make us happy. It's connecting that makes us happy, not consuming. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with having possessions. I'm saying there's nothing wrong with consuming, but actually connecting with people. And if you can take your money and if you can give it to someone else, you can make a connection with them that will make you happy. So yes, money can make you happy, but not in the way that you think. Money makes you happy when you give it away. Many of us, we just think, well, nice theory. I wish I had that kind of cash that I could give. But actually, it doesn't work like that. It's independent of whether you've got a lot, which is why the poorest people give the greatest percentage, because it is not material to how much material that we have. When you give, you connect with others on a level that touches you and makes you happy. One of the most joyful times in my entire life, and I often think about this, this was Kate and me. Kate's the woman that started us off this evening. We were living in Surrey, and one day we had some bad news. A relative had died, and we were so upset. And then we got some news that made us conflicted. This relative had left us an inheritance, and it was like a lot of money. And the weird thing was that it came with strings attached, good strings. The strings that said, this money cannot be given away. Our relatives knew us very well. They knew that we always gave stuff away. It frustrated them enormously. And so they put a trust and they said, you can invest this in a house. And it was weird because this was exactly the time when God was speaking to us about coming over to Bristol. We needed a house and we had no way that we could afford. And so this inheritance came. But I tell you what, I was conflicted because it's like a huge amount of money. And I have no choice but to use it on myself. And Kate and I, we said to him, we've been blessed, we want to bless. We've received, we want to give. We don't want to be the people that are just a kind of sinkhole for material things and for good things coming to us. Whether that's through a salary, whether that's through a gift, whether that's through an inheritance. We want to be giving. Because giving makes you happy. And Kate said, but we've got all our life savings. We had been saving up to buy a house, and we had, you know, not a huge amount, but it was in the thousands, five-figure sum. And we just said, let's give it all away. Let's give it all away. It was, and we did it over a period of about 2 months. It was the best. It was the best time. It's about, now, there's many things in my life that I've bought. And I think about purchases. Yeah, I bought a car. I bought a sofa. I bought a washing machine. I bought a holiday. Not many of these do I go, oh, I remember that time. It's so good. Oh, I almost tear up thinking about it. Oh, it was wonderful. I just felt this. I don't get that. You know, I just think, well, I needed a car. I did this thing. It was nice to begin with. And then, you know, before you know it, I once bought a sports car. Yay. Tick that off the bucket list. And then it's just, oh, this is a car that takes a lot of petrol. But when we gave away, it was like walking on air. You feel so good. You feel so full of joy. You know, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. And it's not that you have to be cheerful and then give, because that's your nature. There's something about giving that makes you cheerful, makes you joyous, makes you full of energy and excitement. I remember some friends of ours, their backs were to the wall. They hadn't been able to pay their mortgage payments for several months. He had lost his job and they were in financial straits. They needed £3,000, otherwise their house would be repossessed. We walked into their front door, we said, hey, poof, here's a check. And you walk out feeling like, so good. And it's so wonderful. We were able to pray with them and cry with them and rejoice with them and dance around the living room. And I remember we gave stuff to church and we gave stuff here, there and everywhere. You know, someone asked you, could you support our church? Yeah, £100. And you just feel like, this is such fun. Money can make you happy when you give it away. It does something on the inside of you. It connects you. It pulls into the part of you which is relational. And what Jesus said, he takes it one step further. He says, actually, money can help you connect with God. And that's why money and faith always go together. That's why there are 2,000 verses in the Bible about money, about finance, about how to use it and how not to use it. How you can actually connect with God and how God cares about the generosity. He wants to give you so that you can give away. He wants to bless you so that you can bless others. And when you give, you're not just connecting with your fellow person, but you're connecting with your Father in heaven. And so when Jesus wanted to talk to his disciples about being close to God, about having a relationship with God, he talked to them about prayer. He talked to them about hiding yourself away in a room and foregoing all the things that you can have, denying yourself. But before he said any of that, he said, and actually, the first thing is you give. You give to other people. You give around. And that connects you with God. He says in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. There's something about your Father, bonding in relationship with God. There's something intimate and it builds a relationship that you have with God. Which is why Jesus said, you can't love God and love money at the same time. Because actually, loving God means that your love for money begins to diminish. And when you give money away, it proves that you don't love it. It's not your boss. It's not a tapeworm taking energy and life from you. It's something that you're able to use and give and be an extreme giver, a ridiculous giver, a joyful giver, a cheerful giver. And God sees it in secret. And it says he will reward you. I've got to be a little bit careful here. Because as I look in my Bible, there's verse after verse after verse after verse about God rewarding us. Give and it will be given to you. The measure you use, it will be measured back to you. As you sow, so shall you reap. And there's all these different verses about having an account with God, being rich with God. And I was thinking, you know, maybe I should tell the guys about that stuff. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Because I don't want you to think that I'm saying to you, give and here's a bribe for you to do so. The Bible does talk about that, but that's almost like a fringe benefit. We don't need to worry too much about that. But the fact of the matter is that when you give, something happens on the inside. You connect in your relationship with God because you realize that you can be truly, truly free. You're not defined by your bank account. You're not defined by what's in your wallet. You're defined by the fact that you give just like God gives. I'm just like my dad. He's generous. He gives all the time. And I want to be like that person that gives. And you know, the early church, they got this in a way that we really don't get. They got this in a way that was profound. They got this in a way that they understood that when we give, we connect with one another at a really key, vital level. And they built this into the way that they did their faith. Their faith and their giving, their faith and their finance, they were totally connected with one another. And so when Luke, the writer, was trying to piece together a kind of an account of the early church, those first disciples that were the people that said, Jesus has risen from the dead and we're now his followers. He said, look, let me give you this summary. He says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. In other words, they didn't own their possessions. They didn't own the things that they owned. They just said, well, it's some stuff that I happen to have, but you know, it's just stuff that God has chosen to trust to me. I'm more like a manager. I'm holding it lightly. I'm happy to untie my shoelace and give you the nicest shoes you ever had. They shared everything they had. And it says God's grace was so powerfully at work in them. In other words, there's a dynamic. It's like God is involved in people who give in a way that they shouldn't give. When people have a kind of lifestyle where the things that I possess don't possess me, the things that I own don't own me, the stuff that I have is just stuff. I can give it away, I can share it. That is radical, you know? Can you imagine being part of a community like that? Awesome. And there's something about God's power, God's grace that makes it work. And this is why I say that, you know, when it comes to money, the biggest factor in the way you handle money is emotion and spirituality. Being emotionally stable so that your self-worth and your contentment is not determined by how much you have. But also a spiritual element. That when you serve God, when you follow God, there's a kind of grace that comes that enables you to live in a way which is countercultural and totally beautiful. And there was no needy person among them. And it says from time to time, those that owned land or houses sold them. Didn't happen every day, but every now and again it would happen. They'd bring the money from the sales and they put it at the apostles' feet. In other words, it wasn't just like me paying my friend's mortgage for them and saving their house. It was saying, look, we're a community which is bigger and I don't know all the needs, and so I just want to share what I've got and I want to trust God that he can supply whatever I need. I'm going to give them it. And the apostles, the leaders of the church, I just want you to put, you know, people that come to you and they've got the stories, they've been thrown out of their house, they've been evicted over here, this person's lost a job, this person's lost a husband. You help them. Here's the money. And it's just this incredible thing. It was distributed to anyone who had need. So what I'm going to do before we wrap things up, bring the band back up, I'm just going to tell you really quickly how, in this church, how we give. How we do this. And you need to hear me on this. If you're not part of Metro, if you're not normally part of this community, then you can just be interested and see how we do this. But if you are coming in, if you're finding a sense of belonging and a sense of, yeah, I'm on a journey with this group of people, then this is just what you need to know about how we do giving. And it's entirely based on the model that we see in the church. And the first thing is this, I want to just show to you a little passage. And it comes from Paul, one of the early church leaders, writing to one of those first churches. And he said to them, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart. Everyone say, what you have decided in your heart. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly, under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giving. You see, I said it was in the Bible. He says, you do this ahead of time. In other words, this is up front. So you're not being compelled, you're not being sold a big story, you're not being emotionally manipulated or wound up. You just decide ahead of time, in your heart, what you want to give. There's no compulsion, there's no guilt trip, there's no, would you just think about the kids? You know, obviously from time to time there are emergencies and special needs, but actually we're talking about a lifestyle of giving. And you just think ahead of time, yeah, this is what I would like to do. It's none of my business. It's none of the business of the person next to you. It's your money. It's your heart. You choose. You do what you want to do. But you do it ahead of time. You don't say, well, I'll give, but only if I feel like, you know, I got motivated. I got moved. Someone made a good pitch. Someone made a good presentation. Now you say, hey, regardless of all that other stuff, regardless of any images that I may see portrayed on a screen, I'm just going to give. And you know what? This is what I've decided to give in my heart. No compulsion, No guilt, no pressure. It's just up front. I'm doing this up front. I'm looking at my finances and I'm saying, yeah, I'd like to give. I'd like to be a generous giver. I'd like to be one of these amazing people who have the grace of God upon their life. Now, to the same group of people, this is a church in Corinth. Paul wrote, and what they did was, they had a system. So laying money at the apostles' feet, it meant that as a community, they organized themselves. They got a bit of a plan and a bit of a system and structure together for how they do giving so that everyone gets taken care of. And so he writes one incident when they are raising money for the church, the mothership church in Jerusalem, who are going through terrible persecution. They are being thrown out of their houses. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their livelihoods. They're being persecuted by the authorities. And so the Christians all around the Mediterranean room, they gather together and they said, look, we've got to help these guys. And this is the way that Paul says you should do it. He says, now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. So this is for everyone. Everyone's doing this stuff. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money. So you're deciding up front. And then on the first day of every week, and they don't have banks, they don't have building societies, they just set some aside. They have a little pot, a jar, or maybe they've buried some stuff underground and they've got a little hatch in the kitchen. But you set it aside on the first day of the week. So your weekly income, you're paid weekly, the first day, before anything else, before all your expenditure, before, okay, we'll see what's left at the end of the week. No, at the beginning of the week, at the beginning. And he says, you should set aside a sum of money. How much money? How much money do I set aside? You know, give me a figure. Give me... No, he just says, according or in keeping with your income. So, if you've got all the money, you give lots. In fact, you can give a greater percentage because you don't have so many base level needs. You've got more disposable income. If you're squeezed, you know, maybe you're a widow, you've got very little. That's okay because God looks at their heart. So you give what is proportional to your income. So this is the second thing. First of all, it's up front. And then secondly, let's carry on. Saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Who says hooray to no collections in church? Hooray! Because it means like, we don't have to talk about this stuff every week. This is awkward as it is. No collections. Just a bunch of people in their hearts putting aside some money every time their income comes in. Before they touch it, they put the first thing aside. They gather it together. And then there's no collections. It's just that when Paul comes, I'm like, hey, I'm here. And they go, oh yeah, right, here's the jar, here's the pot, here's the money that we've got. And then they give the rest to the poor with the man that they approve. And so it is proportional and it is regular. Proportional and regular. It's up front. And it's a proportion of your income. That's up to you to decide. There's no compulsion. There's no hard sell. It's just, okay, what do you want to give? 5%? 10%? 20%? 90%? Do you know, we as a family, we have this thing, this is digression, but we said, actually, we want to give. We want to be like Brent Shepherd. We want to give generously. Extreme giving. We want to give more than we think we can. And then see if God really does provide our daily bread, like the Lord's Prayer says. And so we pick a sum, you know, we pick a proportion. And you know, at the moment, we sort of said, wouldn't it be great if we could do 20%? And we used to be 10%, and now we're more like 20%. And that's a great thing for us. But I would dearly love to get higher. And so I'm trying to persuade my boss to give me more money so I can give a bigger percentage and I can be more happy with my money. But it's proportional. You just decide. For me, it's like a sport. I want to see how much I can give all over the place. But you do it regularly. So it's not like a one-off give. There, I did it. I gave. Okay, get off my back. I'm a generous person. I gave like 3 years ago. No, it's like every... In fact, for us, it wouldn't be every week because most of us, we get paid every month. So it's like every month, a proportion, regular. And then Jesus says, look, if you want to know what to give and where to give, he says this, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where the thieves break in and steal. Someone broke into Kate's car yesterday and they stole the money that was in her car. £1. It still hurts. You can laugh. but it still happens. So don't put your money there, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, treasures where God is, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. By the way, if we could maybe cut together later on, Kate would, you know, really appreciate that. She lost a pound. Where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. And then he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Not is, will be. So it is about motivation. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to put your heart? And that's why we say, as a church, as a community, we want our giving to go with where we want our heart to be. When you put your money in a place, that's where your heart goes. As a family, we've supported children in Africa, sponsoring children, and there's a huge part of our heart that goes over there. You know, and there's a regular birthday cards and Christmas cards and prayer and concern and love, and sometimes you get the pictures. And a bit of my heart is over there in Uganda right now. And a bit of my heart is over in Nigeria, where I support another charity. But a huge part of my heart is in Woodlands, in my church. Because I love my church and I love the community. So this is the big idea. You decide up front what proportion of income to set aside each month. Then you give it to where your heart, where you want your heart to be. I don't know, some of you probably think, oh, it's a church, it's an institution, it's like a business, you know, it just does itself. It's not like that. It's not like that here. You might not know this, but someone bought those projectors and then gave them to the church. Someone bought that bass drum and then gave it to the church. Someone bought the stool that the drummer sits on and then gave it to the church. Because they were a generous, extravagant giver. And in fact, the seat that you're sitting on, someone bought that too. I don't mean the actual seat. I mean the fact that at Bristol, they're a fantastic organisation, but they don't give this to us for free. Every person in this room tonight, someone has paid for you to be here. And it's actually, do you want me to tell you how much it costs for you to be here?
Zero.
Zero. That'd be nice. That'd be the ultimate venue, wouldn't it? It's actually more than you think, and I'm not going to tell you because... Like I said, I don't want you to feel like, oh, goodness me, people are paying for me to hear. That's what we want to do. We want to be generous. We want to bless. But there is no organization. There is no institution. There is just disciples of Jesus giving because our heart is here. We want to make something that's beautiful. We want to create a community where people can belong and connect and then get involved in engaging with the needs in our city and help make a difference where it's needed the most. And to do that, we've got to be generous with one another. Do you realize that those donuts that you eat, do you think that they are just the church? Kate buys them every week in our daily shop. The man from Sainsbury's knocks on our door and he always says the same thing every week. Wow, you family, you like your donuts, don't you? She does it. And everything that we have and all the resources that we have is because people give. And not just so that church can happen, but because people are in need. And when someone is in need, just like they did in the early church, we give to them. When someone has lost their job, we can give to them, we can support them. You know, the church can do amazing things because people give. And right now, all I want to do, we're going to pray, but I want kind of unashamedly to say, if you feel like you would like to be a part of this community, then this is how we give. We give up front what we decide, a portion of our income in accordance with the money that's coming in. And we do that on a regular monthly basis so that we don't have to have any collections, no offerings, because everyone is giving behind the scenes. Actually, we're giving in secret. And our Heavenly Father, who sees what's done in secret, He rewards us. And so on your seat, there's one of these little fellows. It's a standing order form and a gift aid form. And that's how people in this church give to the work of the church. And if you'd like to do that, then you can absolutely do that. I'm going to be doing this tonight because I need to just... Every now and again, you think, okay, am I going to give more? Am I going to give less? It doesn't matter if you give 3%, 5%, 10%, 20%. If you can do better than that, then I'm jealous. But whatever you want to do, And actually, what we're going to do is, without making a big deal of it, there's not going to be a come to the front and cry while we sing an emotional song. That's next week. No, what we're going to do is, we'll sing normally, but then if you want to fill this in, and no one knows their bank details, but if you put in what you know, then you can just fold it over so that people don't see how generous you are. Put in one of these baskets. There's going to be one at the front and one by the coffee. And you can just do that at the end when people are milling around. And please, again, hear me. This is only for people that think, yeah, I want to be part of this community. I want to move forward. Maybe I'll dip my toe in. Maybe my financial situation is not so, you know, it's a little bit shady at the moment. And so I've got to start off a little bit. And that's fine. You know, a little bit. But I think, yeah, I'd love to pay for someone else's seat. I'd love to help see what can be done in the community. I'd love to support the church as we get behind the work that we do with women caught in the sex trade, with homeless people on the street, with those that are disadvantaged, with people that have been trafficked and find themselves working, the massage parlors. Because we could do so much good with the money that we've got. We could feel so much better about ourselves rather than, hey, I bought the latest iPhone again, like I was programmed to do by the society around me. I buy the latest iPhone. But, you know, knowing that my money can make a difference. John Wesley, he says, make as much as you can. Give as much as you can. Save as much as you can. And that's really the way that we do giving. And so that's the big sort of climax of our series. It's trying to get to a point where you give, and then you save, and then you live. In a world that tries to force us, cajole us, tempt us to live, 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 and put everything into our living beyond our means. Actually, wouldn't it be great if first, on the first day of the month, before everything else, we give. And we give whatever we've decided in our heart before our Father in heaven. And then we're able to save, or to pay off the mortgage like we talked about last week, so that there's a bit of financial planning and health. And then off the rest, we live. And if that means we live simply, then all the better for it. Because contentment is not about bank balance. Contentment is something so much more easy and profound than that. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you love the cheerful giver, not someone that has been guilted or compelled. You love it when we just decide, do you know what, I'd like to be that person. I'd like to be the person that is generous. And Father, I want to pray that you'd help us and that you'd inspire us. And I want to pray, Lord, for those of us that feel a sense of maybe worry, anxiety, or even terror about committing ourselves to giving. And we'd be worried that we won't have enough for ourselves and that we find ourselves in trouble. I pray, dear God, that you would reassure us that as we give, it will be given to us. And as we sow, we shall reap. And that you, our heavenly loving Father, are well able to take care of us. And I want to pray that each one of us would have a handle on money where it doesn't control us and destroy us or drain us. But instead, we're free. We're totally free. And we're able to be cheerful and joyful givers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.